Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
You can take your seats. The worship team, thank you very much. Tremendous. And I could talk about Jesus, as you probably hear, all the time. Because of what he has done in my life. Not only from where he's taken me from, which many of you may know, from drug addiction, from the streets, but more than that, so much more than an ex-drug addict. So much more the Lord has from where he's taken you from to where he's taken you to. That's why I speak about him in the way that I do, because I know who I was and I know who I am today. I feel like bursting into song. You know that song, I know who I am. Walking in favor, walking in power. I couldn't help it, I'm so sorry. It was like, it was burning inside me to start. And I'm not a worship leader. I would love to be a worship leader. But I'm not. So that's it in a nutshell. I'm not a worship leader, but I love to worship God. And today we're going to be speaking about a few different things. When we went to Mexico, there was a theme that the Lord had given to the elders, the steering committee, the multi-regionals. We're part of a worldwide ministry with the same vision. And the same mission, it doesn't change. Just because we're here in Manchester, it's the same in Mexico, it's the same in South Africa, it's the same all over the world. We are called to reach the hurting people of this world. And I don't know about you, I think everybody that doesn't have the Lord is hurting. You don't have to be depressed, a drug addict, a this or that, a criminal, a blah, 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 blah. Every single person that I have come in contact with that does not know Christ is lost. Lost people. And the theme is the time is now. The time is now. The Lord has many seasons that we go through. And as a church, personally, we go through our seasons and we believe God for him to meet us, to come through on his promises. And the Lord has given this church a word that we are coming into a spacious place. And then it says in Psalms 18, 19, 20, it says, he brought me into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. And I believe that when they said in Mexico that this theme for this year, the time is now, and then every message that we heard across that pulpit from the leaders of this ministry was about expansion. It was about growth. It was enlarging your territory. Every single message was about we need to grow. We need to expand. We need to make room. And me and Paul were chatting, and it was so nice to feel we're in line with what's happening worldwide. Because I don't know about you, spacious, enlargement, growth, expansion are all pretty much heading in the same direction. One of our second promises that was given to our founder, Pastor Sonny, was Isaiah 54, 2 and 3. It says, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. The word enlarge is a Hebrew word for called rabba, and it means to increase, be in authority, continue, bring up, enlarge, excel, be full of, gather, overtake, yield much, multiply, nourish, plenty. I don't know, but that sounds like a fairly good place for us to be moving into. And so to prepare to go in to this spacious place that God has for us, what do we need to do? I always like to bring it back down to ground level. What does that mean to me? What does that mean to this church? What do we have to do to grow, to stretch? And I believe for anything to grow, the change has to happen in you and me first. If it doesn't happen in you, you will never see the manifestation of it happening on the outside. When the Lord talks about enlarging in the Bible, he talks to the inside of people and he talks to the outside. But he talks about enlarging the inner territory, enlarging the heart, enlarging those areas of our lives that are restricted, that can be restricted. And today we're going to look at two things that can cause a hindrance to your growth, that can cause a problem. Now, bearing in mind, we are a body. So you're attached to me and I'm attached to you. Hello. So when you don't grow, guess what? I don't grow as quickly because I just kick you out of the way. But anyway, no, but I wouldn't do that because I'm growing. I've made a decision and we've made a decision and the team have made a decision. We are growing. And some of the things that hinder that growth, we're going to talk about. But I'm not going to tell you what they are because it's a secret. No. I'm going to read you a story. This is the first one. See if you can guess who I am. Okay, I'm not going to put something on my head. We used to put Rizzlers on our heads and then write on the Rizzlers. But when they became holy, I think we put cards on their head, not Rizzlers. King size, yeah. King size Rizzlers. Rizzlers. Okay, so story. Guess who I am? Okay. Are you ready? Who am I? No. Okay, I am seldom considered, though I do more to influence anything about you than virtually any one thing in your life. I often control the time you get up in the morning, the time you go to sleep, what you eat and drink, and the very thought that runs through your head. I can make you either happy or sad, loving or hateful, cheerful or remorseful, spiteful, and have the capacity for you to have success. No, you don't often think of me. Instead, you blame the problem I create on the shortcomings of others, or the state of the economy, or your family, or a million other reasons. Often at times, unable to find anyone else to blame, you look for shortcomings within yourself on which to lay the blame. When my impact on your life is fully is considered in your every thought and action, when you are mindful of my awesome power, when you nurture and groom me for positive use in your life, I can become more contagious than the most prolific disease ever witnessed by man. My influence will spread to every person you come in contact with. Groomed and nurtured in a positive manner, there will be no person or no obstacle that can stand in the way of my success or fail to be impacted for the better. Okay, have a guess. Flesh? Who said flesh? No. Self? No. Emotions? No. So, who? Soul? No. Ego? No. It's funny what people come up with, isn't it? Because you start thinking, really, really? Mind? No. Come on! Who am I? The devil? No. Okay, shall I tell you? Okay, I'll tell you. I am your attitude. The word... yeah, some of the ones that have got right attitude are like, I am your attitude. The word attitude in the dictionary means settled way of thinking or feeling about something. In the thesaurus, attitude means, thesaurus is like the Bible words or a more explanation of the word, posture, reaction, demeanor, opinion, perspective, point of view, prejudice, stance, view, and mood. Well, that opens it up a little bit to something. This is one of the limitations to the place of growth where we are going. Your attitude is linked to your heart. Your attitude will, it really does speak what's truly in your heart. What's really going on is what you will give out on the outside. And it is a decision, moment by moment, that we make on a daily basis. And it is seated and based in faith, in who you believe and who believes in you. That will determine your attitude in this life. Proverbs 27:19, it says, As in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. You are revealed by your attitude. You may be the most anointed, gifted, called, talented, amazing person, but if you have a stinking attitude, there will be no room for you. And sometimes people that have smelly attitudes, the hardest thing about it is they think everybody else is the problem. They don't realize that everywhere they go, they come up with the same problem. But the problem is you, and the problem is me. It's us that has to change. These are the things that we need to really examine and look at in our own lives. What do people say about you and me? If someone was to say, Zoe, and it was someone that knew nothing about Zoe, and you were asked to give a resume about her as a person, I pick on her, what would they say about Zoe? What would they say about you, Davey? What would they say about you, Paul? What would they say about me? They wouldn't talk about how amazing necessarily your gifts are, how amazing you do this, you sing. 9 times out of 10, people will speak about your attitude. Our attitude affects everything we do. Every single thing that we put our hands to will be affected by this. There's a quote by John Maxwell. It says, people may hear your words, but they feel your attitude. By Ralph Marston, another quote, excellence is not a skill. It is an attitude. It is a decision. How do we get this attitude? How do we get the right attitude? Well, the Bible says that we are to have the same attitude as Christ. We are to arm ourselves in the same way as he armed himself. Now, he armed himself to come to this world and die for our sins. He armed himself for suffering. He armed himself for servanthood. He armed himself to lay his life down for the whole of the world. And he asks us to do likewise. 1 Peter 4:1 says, so then since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. In Philippians 2, it says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. Another word for attitude in the King James, if you study it, is the same word for having the mind. Attitude and mentality, they walk hand in hand. You find somebody with a bad attitude, then you're going to find someone that has a mentality that is stuck. So the second thing that we are dealing with today that can be a limitation to growth, first, your attitude and my attitude, and second is a mentality. A mentality. These things have to grow. They have to change. And as I said in the beginning, they start with me and you. Everything starts with you and the territory that God has given you and me. Because you can only grow from the outside inside. Expansion comes from the inside out. A mentality, a habit, is a habit or a characteristic, a mental attitude that determines how you will interpret and respond to situations. A particular way of thinking, the ability to learn and deal with problems in certain ways. 1 Peter 4:1 says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same mind. Bearing in mind and attitude are the same thing. A quote, it is not what you look at, but rather what you see that matters. Set your focus right. There are two different types of mindsets. There are the fixed mindset and there is a growth mindset. Which one are you? We're going to look at, first of all, the fixed mindset. A fixed mindset is somebody that doesn't want to change, that doesn't want to be challenged, that thinks they are right, that has the I know syndrome. So before you've even finished speaking, I know. Okay, so you know. So that is a fixed mindset. Some of the things that can cause fixed mindsets is pride and arrogance. People that stay with the same group of people doing the same thing, they stay in their culture, they stay in their status, they stay with the same types of people. And even though it's not a biblical saying, birds of a feather will stick together, baby. So as you look at the church, all you have to do is you just have to look at who those people are hanging with. It speaks volumes as to the direction that they are going, or their heart, or their mindset. It's fixed. These people, or this mindset, refuses to change. They challenge everything as if they are right. None of us are right. Nobody is right. It's not about right and wrong. It's about doing what God asks us to do. A fixed mentality is a particular way of thinking, and you can tell when someone has a fixed mentality is that when they fail or they don't do well in something, they take it fully personal to themselves. Like they are the failure. It's all about me. And it's a mentality where God wants to grow and challenge. If you have a fixed mentality, how do you challenge that? Well, number one, you learn to challenge yourself. And you also are humble enough to know that you do not have it down, that you do not have the monopoly on stuff. Also, the other thing when you've got a fixed mentality, get around people that you see that you think that you want to be like. Get around people that have large faith. Get around people that are servants. Get around people that are loving. If these are the things, you get around those ones that are going to challenge you to grow. Because if you've got a fixed mentality, the last thing you want to do is be around those people. Because it challenges you and you're uncomfortable and you don't feel good about yourself. Well, praise God. That's how you grow. That's how you change. Put yourself in uncomfortable situations. That's my prayer to God. Put me in places that challenge me to grow, that challenge my thinking, that challenge who I am, that challenge my limitations. Put me around people that make me feel small, that make, not in a negative way, but in a way where I can excel, where I can strive, where I can learn, where I can be like, oh, I want to find out more about that. I want to understand more. Because let me tell you something, understanding is based upon your perception. And sometimes you think, because of what you see, that is the understanding for everybody. But everybody's at a different place. Some people can see way beyond anything you can see. They're understanding. Just because you don't understand and I don't understand doesn't mean it's wrong. That's heavy. And that takes a lot of humility to be around people that we might not understand. We may not agree on everything. We may not feel comfortable with them, but we know we need what they have. They may be somebody that has a massive faith. When I get around people with massive faith, I just feel like, oh boy, I'm all messed up, I am. I'm all messed up. But you know what it does for me? I start to examine myself before God. I start to ask God questions. I start to ask these people that have got tremendous faith, I start to ask them questions. How did you get where you are today? What did you do? How did you grow? How did you expand? How did you become a worldwide thinker, a worldwide church plant? I don't just sit there like a plum. I speak. How did you do that? You know why? Because I want to grow. I desire to grow. I desire to understand. I don't understand. And you know what happens when you get around these people? You're challenged. There's a transaction that happens. There's like something that is like, oh, it starts to move within you, shifting those mindsets, shifting those fixed mentalities, shifting that culture of the way you've been raised. It starts to shift you. That's what we need to do for this new place. That's what we need to do in this spacious place. Because what we have now, what you know now, what I know now, my faith where it is now, it's not enough. More God, more Father, whatever you, and I tell you the other thing, what the Lord does in the spacious place, exposure. Ooh, when I was in Mexico, I was seeking God and the Lord said, I said, God, what are some of the things in this spacious place and this place of expansion we need to be aware of? And the Lord started to show me exposure, more light, exposure. You know what, church? We need to get our lives right. If you're not living right, this church, where we're going, this ministry, holiness, conviction, holiness. And conviction. It's time to get ourselves right before him. It says in Romans 12:2, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let the Lord transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. That's a lot of the reason people want to know God's will for their lives. And it's because their mindsets, their minds need to change. The growth mindset. This is our desire. This is what we want. This is the desire for us to be open and fluid, where there's movement, never fixed. You know what I've learned to do over these last couple of years in this new place? Whenever I think something, I challenge the way I think. So what I do in my mind, I automatically make a decision. Then I retract, and I think, is that the way that you want me to think, God? Is that? And I challenge my mindsets. I challenge my thinking. Is this a cultural thing, Vicky? Is this a? And I examine myself before God so that I can have the right mind. A growth mindset is something that people know can grow, that you can grow and that you can change. And nothing is fixed. Nothing is set. Anything is possible with this growth mindset. And there are no limitations to this mindset. Anything, Lord, that you can do. You allow change. You allow yourself to be around others that are different. You don't allow failures to identify you. You get up, you shake yourself off and say, oh, well, praise the Lord, I made a mistake, sorry. Move on. You're honest, you're open, you're flexible, you're true, you're real. You've got nothing to hide. Religion has no place in this mindset. Religion has to stay out there. You believe growth is possible and you face your days with a fundamental different set of thoughts and emotions. You have an anticipation. You become a life learner. You become excited. You become expectant. You look for opportunities. God, no matter what happens to you, it doesn't define you. Your circumstances don't define you. Your upbringing doesn't define you. Your limitations were your limitations, but you're believing God for more. Let everything that happens to you be a stepping stone to the next adventure that God has. Because we are on an adventure, and it's an adventure of faith. The enemy comes. Yes, he does. And if anybody told you as a Christian that you would not have trouble, they lied to you. And that you would not have suffering, they lied to you. But God is working that thing round. He's turning that thing round. He's changing you in the process. But your mentality and your attitude will determine where you go and how far you go in this life and in this walk with Christ. Knowing He is good, trusting in His character and believing big things for your life. There is big plans for this church. Big plans. And I will tell you that Paul and I, it's not something we could have fabricated. Because we really didn't think that way. But what God has done is He's enlarged our territory. He's enlarged us to see. Do you know what? You have to see it in the supernatural before it happens. That's vision. That's vision. See, if you can't see it, spiritually see it, then you will never be able to see it. If you can't see it, you're never going to see it. And I believe I've seen in the supernatural massive things, massive salvations, massive healings, massive deliverance. Massive men's homes, massive women's homes, a massive church. I don't care what is happening around me, in the sense of it doesn't determine what I see. My mind is set. My mind and my heart are made up. Because I know God has shown it to me in faith and me and Paul. And when you see it, there's something that happens within you. That it doesn't matter physically. Every morning you get up and you have got this vision before you. You've got this what God has placed in you before you, and it's a purpose, and it drives you and it motivates you. It keeps you young. It gives you joy. In fact, there's a scripture, it says, those that run in the commands of God, their hearts will be enlarged. And as we run in the commands of God, as we run in God's ways, as we run in Him, bit by bit you'll be enlarged. Your faith will be enlarged. Your capacity will stretch. Your attitudes will change. They'll just drop off. Things will just start to drop to the wayside as you move with Him and through Him. And that's where God changes you. Transformation happens. Transformation doesn't happen in corners here and corners there, sticking with the same situations and circumstances. Transformation happens when you move forward in the things of God. Ephesians 3:20, and I'm coming down for a close. 3:20 to 21, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. When I was talking about seeing with the spirit, the mind of the spirit, that's what I'm talking about. Colossians 3:2, and the worship team can come up. 3:2, set your mind on things above, not on the earth. 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that He may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ, but it's whether you access it. Because you have two minds you can access. And you know what I mean when I say that. There is the mind of Christ, and there's your mind. And your mind is limited. But the mind of Christ, there's no limitations in Him. Matthew 22:37, He said, Jesus, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And lastly, the scripture, Philippians 4:8. Meditate on these things. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Stand with me today. There's a couple of things I believe the Lord wants to do today. The first thing is, I believe that there are people in this place. Yes, you go through the motions. Yes, you lift your hands. Yes, you do all the Christianisms. We know them all. But you know, in your heart, you've settled. You've settled into your limitation. The word settle in the dictionary is to end something, a final decision, and to move to a place. And the word settle in Hebrew is kapha. It means to shrink, it means to curdle, and it means darkness, clouded. And I want to say to you in this place that if you have settled, you've curdled, you've limited in your heart because of some of the things that have happened to you, or this, some of the things that haven't happened to you. There's the big one. It's not so much, it's because you've not seen some of these things that you start to settle. Well, this is it then. Well, this is my life then. I believe God, and you've stopped believing big. You've stopped pressing big, believing Him for greatness. And I believe that there's people in this place where the Lord wants to enlarge your heart. He wants to do a transplant on it and to put such a passion and a cause and a purpose in you so you can awaken. awaken and see again, to dream again, to visualize again. It's Him that does it. It's not man. But you have to take the steps. You have to move. You have to speak to this body. Oh, this body of mine. The body of yours brings such limitations. Lazy, wicked body, wanting to do such nutty things. Oh, bring that cookie under subjection. Oh, you discipline that body. Otherwise, you will disqualify yourself. You have to learn to lead yourself. You have to learn to run like an athlete. You have to learn to set your mind upon the things that are above and the higher calling that God has for you. Oh, His eyes are on you and me. He knows every hair on our heads. He knew you before you were formed. He saw your unformed body. Child, I call you forth. And He spoke to your bones and He said, live. He breathed life and He spoke to you, live, my child. This is not it. There is more. There is more. I'm making an altar call today for those ones that want the Lord to enlarge their hearts. You want to take the limit off. You want to enlarge your territory. You want to break those mentalities. You want to break those mindsets. You want to break those fixed ways. Oh God, we want you. Whatever way that looks like, we want you. We move as a church.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.